Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Kamen Rider Chronicles. I'm your host, Joe. And for this episode, going to be talking about the new episode of Kamen Rider Zetz, Episode 7, Punish. This one just came out. It's a fun one. Gosh, man, I love this show. This show's great. This show's been fun. Yeah, let's go ahead and hop into it. Don't really have a lot of news. Well, really any news outside of, I think this is maybe a little bit of a spoiler for myself. Gonna be getting a new writer soon-ish, probably within the next like 2 months. This is just me speculating because I may have seen something on the website that may be indicating a new driver. So, yeah. Anyway, that's just me assuming things. Again, I don't know too much about anything, so this is just me assuming stuff. But that being said, let's just go ahead and get into this episode itself, because there is a fair amount of things to get into with this. So let's go. So we pick up literally where we left off with the last episode, and Zetz is in the middle of fighting one of the nightmare minions, and he sees Bajagi, run off with Nem, and so he tries to run after them, but he gets stopped by said nightmare minion, the giant robot with the claw arm and the chainsaw arm. Nox comes up and he taunts him that he won't be able to save everyone and that he will remember his own bad dreams soon. Focusing on the mission in front of him, Zetz loads up the machinery capsum first in his driver and then in his Breakum gun. With his machinery powers, he manifests two giant claws that grab the minion robots and then shoots them with his Breakum bullet, destroying them both. Seven, because he is now unmorphed, goes over and grabs Riko, making sure she's okay, and then the two of them head out after Bajagi and Nem. Riko is unable to continue on, so Seven hides her in a storage area with the Zetz sensor in case anything goes wrong. The sensor is there in case something happens, like somebody comes after her, one of the robot minions. Basically, it's going to be there, and he lets her know that if this goes off, he's going to come back to rescue her immediately. Seven continues to run up the stairs from floor to floor, but is unable to find any signs of Bajagi or Nem, and then Baku ends up waking up shortly thereafter. In the command closet, Baku fills Zero in on what has happened so far, and Zero tells him that while he is locked in the prison, he probably won't be able to find the Dreamer's Mind's door like he has been before. Just then, Fujimi and Nasuka enter the command closet, leading Baku to do jumping jacks to try and hide Zero from them. He was unaware that Zero had already turned back into a motorcycle behind him. Baku then tells them about Bajagi running off with Nem and abandoning his wife. Nasuka gives Fujimi an "I told you so" look. If you remember, Fujimi said that Bajagi was dreaming that they were in prison after his wife filed for divorce because he wanted to be a happy family again. Nasuka tells him that if that was the case, he wouldn't have abandoned his wife. But Fujimi insists that Bajagi is the dreamer and that he would naturally prioritize Nem over his family after the accident. This catches Baku off guard. According to Riko, Bajagi and Nem were in a terrible accident from 4 years ago that left Nem in a critical condition. Fujimi surmises that Bajagi covered up the fact this happened to his that happened to his number one star. Sorry. Baku doesn't accept this since her commercials and ads are playing everywhere. Nausicaa suggests that those could be things that were filmed previously, or they could even be CGI'd. Baku still doesn't buy it. She is always in his dreams, but Fujimi points out that she is only in his dreams, that he has never seen her in the flesh. Baku then storms out of the command closet. Baku ends up asking Minami, his sister, to accompany him to meet with Bajagi. She thinks it's so he can get a job and get closer to Nem, but he insists that he needs to ask Bajagi about something. Bajagi meets them at the front steps of the office building as they are arguing. As Minami starts apologizing, Baku interrupts saying that he is Seven from his dream, and then asks if he remembers him. Bajagi says he does, and that he is like a different person in the waking world. In his office, Bajagi explains that Nem was like a daughter to him. He explains about the bus accident, and fearing tabloid coverage, he checked Nem into a private VIP hospital. But she soon disappeared without a trace, and he has been searching for her on his own ever since, and has obviously been unsuccessful. Baku asks why not make it public. If more people knew that she was missing, then they would be able to locate her. But Bajagi says he didn't want to put the public through knowing what became of her. The public loves her so much that her death would devastate so many, and he could not bear to see that, especially himself, not wanting to acknowledge that she is already gone. Baku says he also refuses to accept that as well. So there are two things of note here. First is when we see the accident play out, Nem is sleeping on the bus. So, you know, when the accident happens, which may give some insight as to why she's able to go into people's dreams like she does. And two, we don't see the driver of the truck that hits the bus. That is not a super big deal until you think back on the first episode where there was a driverless truck that hit Baku, sending him into the hospital. That truck was sent by Nox, so there is a non-zero chance he had a hand in Nem getting hurt. I literally just want to point that out. You know, keep that in the back of your mind as these episodes progress. So back at the command closet, Baku tells Fujimi and Nausicaa about what he's learned and insists that Nem might still be alive somewhere. Fujimi says even if she was still alive, she'd still be in a severe state. But emotional Baku says Bajagi spent years suffering, not knowing whether she was dead or alive. And it's because of that he has locked himself in a prison of his own mind, dreaming about spending time with Nem. Baku vows to save him from that awful dream. Seven wakes up in the dream world as Bajagi and Nem make their way to the top floor of the nightmare. The nightmare minions attack Bajagi as Nox walks up saying that it's time for the dreamer to make his dream come true. The subconscious mind has always wondered how much better it would be if he had died instead of Nem. Nox gives Bajagi the chance to make the dream a reality, fight the minion until he destroys it or it destroys him, and that will save Nem. Nem tries to stop him but is unsuccessful, but Seven shows up, revealing that it's a trap. He says that fighting this minion will not save Nem at all, and instead his body will be taken over by the nightmare. Of course, the minion isn't just going to sit there and do nothing, so it goes in to attack, forcing Seven to defend. Nox chimes in, saying, what if that's what the dreamer's subconscious actually wants, though? If his dream does not come true, then Bajagi must live with the torment of not saving Nem forever. Seven maintains that Nem might still be alive. He knocks down the minion and turns to Nem, apologizing for not understanding why she didn't want hit this investigated. But Nem says it's okay because she doesn't even know what's going on with her either. Seven believes that she is still alive somewhere and makes a promise to Bajagi and Nem to find Nem, making it a mission for himself. Seven Henshins with the projection capsum, another extension of the stream suit, but with a cape over one shoulder, and takes on the Nightmare's minions. Nox, or minion, at this point, it's just one. Right here, though, Nox extends his hand and makes four more minion robots appear, and then he disappears. Zetz takes on the five minions, summoning his Breakum sword out of his cape to continue his attacks. It's actually pretty cool, like, he like throws out his hand, and then the sword extends from the cape out and like smacks into one of the minions and bounces back, and he grabs it in the air. It's really kind of a fun little scene. He attacks with the sword for a little bit, and then he switches to gun mode and is able to press his attack even more. One of the minions manages to get in close, but Zetz dodges, and the minion's chainsaw arm goes into the cape. A projection of the saw blade appears above a different minion and attacks that one, destroying it. Think portal? So, like, you know, when you shoot the one portal here, then another portal over there, you can go in here, it comes out there. It's similar to that. Zetz then shoves a minion against a pillar as two more minions come in to attack, but he phases out and the two destroy the other minion instead. Hanging from the rafters, Zetz blasts the two with his gun, destroying them. The final one goes into attack, but Zetz easily takes that one out with a Breakum bullet. An alarm on his phone goes off. Riku is in trouble. Riku is in trouble. The walls around her are closing in, and she's trying to run out before they can crush her, but the door keeps pulling away from her. Bajagi and Nem see the projection of this, and Nem is desperate to save her mom. Bajagi's only concern, however, is to protect Nem. Zetz promises that he is going to get everyone out of here alive. However, a crap ton of minions just appeared. Zetz is able to figure out that since this is the top floor of the Nightmare, then the brain should be right above them. I guess one of his powers in this suit is revealing hidden objects, because he looks up through the ceiling, and outside, a giant brain materializes above the Nightmare. The minions start to attack, and Zetz activates his projection capsum, making enough copies of himself appear in front of each minion, leaving him free to go after the Nightmare. As the projections take out the minions, Zetz uses a banished finisher on the brain to destroy the Nightmare. A black butterfly appears to grab all the excess Nightmare power. Bajagi runs to Riku, apologizing for what he did. And I know this is a dream, but she forgave him pretty quickly, since all he wanted to do was to try and protect Nem. It just seemed too quick. And again, I know it's a dream, and it's his dream, so of course it's going to be in favor of him, but just seems a little too quickly. A little too forgive-forget kind of thing. But anyway, so as Nem thanks Seven, Nox watches from afar and says Seven will one day learn the price of this power. In the real world, the butterfly leaves Bajagi's body. He wakes up and seems to have a weight lifted off his shoulders. The next day, Baku reaffirms his promise to find and save Nem. Bajagi is relieved. He has also turned the funeral wall, all those pictures of Nem, now into a more traditional wall, where it's a lot of the same pictures, but there's no, like, memorial of picture of Nem. So it's just pictures of them, like, together and just having a good time. Stuff, which is also good. But we end the episode with Nox walking up to an unconscious Nem on a bed. They're in some hidden place, and there's a bunch of butterflies just flying around. and he wishes her to continue guiding bad dreams. So yeah, no, this is, I know it's a quick review for this episode. I mean, the episode is still 24 minutes long or so. But I kind of got through it pretty quickly. This was a good episode. Really good episode. We got to see more. We got to see, obviously, what's been going on with Nem. We were getting more of her. I wouldn't be surprised. I've been saying this a lot. I think she's going to become a writer at one point. I still think it's going to happen. But, I mean, it could be sooner rather than later. I don't know. And like I said, there's probably going to be a new writer soon. I don't know if it'll be her sooner than rather than later, but no, other than that, like, what we've been getting is I've been enjoying, and yeah, no, there's really nothing else I can really talk about. This is kind of a quick episode, quick breakdown. So yeah, I know for the other episodes of Kamurata Chronicles with Ichigo, I'm doing a kill count. I didn't do one for this episode. I had a bunch of other things I had to take care of. So maybe I will have it up for the next episode. But as of right now, yeah, I got nothing extra to go on with this stuff. So thank you all for listening. Go ahead and hit up the show over on social medias. Comic Book Rundown. Email us comicbookrundown@gmail.com. You can rate and review us on your podcast if you have a choice. If you do, we'll read in an upcoming episode. We've got merch over on TeePublic. You can run down reviews every Friday. Comic Book Rundown, the last Saturday of the month. This month, I'll be, myself and Ron are talking about Spider-Man. We've got Getting a Franchise, the last Sunday of the month. Chuck and I are talking about Suspiria from 79 or 77, 79. And then the remake from 2008, something like that. I don't know. 2001, whichever one it is. Man, those episodes were, that's an interesting episode. Yeah, so we got those going on. And then obviously, Kamurata Chronicles, Mondays and Thursdays. So with that being said, that's all I got for now. So thank you all for listening, and we will catch you next time.